Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Patrick Gaybridge, the writer of Santa Doesn't Live Here Anymore, today's episode, and you're listening to Gather by the Ghostlight.
Holiday greetings and welcome back to Gather by the Ghostlight, original stories for radio theater. I'm Jonathan Cook, your host, producer, and sometimes voice actor on this thing. And it's the holiday season, and I hope whatever holiday you celebrate this month is jolly and festive and all the wonderful things that you want it to be. Now, before we get started, I do have a few quick announcements. The first being that this is the last episode of Gather by the Ghostlight for 2023. That's right. We're coming back full throttle again after the new year in January with plenty of new plays written by kick-ass playwrights. There's going to be more live events and all kinds of other cool things just for you. And speaking of live events, you have less than 2 weeks to submit your script to our inaugural Off Broad Street Short Play Festival. Now, that live event will be in April 2024, at Le Chat Noir Theater in Augusta, Georgia. Now, the deadline to submit is December 31st, so don't delay. Quit sitting around being jolly or whatever it is you're doing and submit your script. I know there are a lot of great writers that are listening right now, so head over to gatherbytheghostlight.com to get all the details on that. And now, today, at this time, in this moment, we are about to rock out to the second part of the annual, fourth time ever, festive Christmas die-hard holiday special, Extravaganza! And on the menu today is a comedic play written by Patrick Gaybridge called Santa Doesn't Live Here Anymore. You are about to meet two parents who are currently doing their annual Santa Claus duties for their son on Christmas Eve, wrapping presents, filling the stockings, leaving the glass half full of milk with some cookie crumbs sprinkled on the plate. You see, they just never got around to telling their son that Santa Claus isn't real. The only problem with that is their son is now a 30-year-old man. Now, gather around the ghostlight, sit back and enjoy. This is Santa Doesn't Live Here Anymore, written by Patrick Gaybridge. And be sure to stick around after the story to hear an interview with this writer.
Better do my duty.
That's a lot of cookies.
Santa has a powerful appetite.
And a belly like a bowl full of jelly.
Full of cookies.
Seriously.
Where's your Christmas spirit?
Mine? You're the one who thinks that we
should... But here we are. You win.
And you get cookies.
Dad, what are you doing?
Hey, Mom, why are you messing with my stocking?
I was just going to...
Did Santa come early?
Oh, exactly. You just missed him.
Oh, wow.
And he was so generous. Look at all those great presents. And he even said your father could have his cookies.
That's so hard to...
Believe?
They're really good cookies.
So why don't you go back to bed, dear? I was just going to hang this up.
Oh, I won't be able to sleep now. Can I just see what he gave me?
Tomorrow.
Please.
You heard me.
Okay. Good night. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Jeffy.
This is insane.
I think it's sweet.
He's 30 years old and still believes in Santa.
We said we'd let him figure it out on his own.
For most kids, that doesn't get them past age 12.
Oh, it's not hurting anything.
I blame myself. Those early years of making little ashy footprints around the fireplace and reindeer tracks on the lawn and the notes and the letters and the cookies and half-drunk glasses of milk.
It was all for fun and love. Isn't that what it is? A great big symbol of unbridled generosity and love. What's wrong with believing in that?
Because it's a symbol. It's not real. At some point, there comes a time when... I mean, what about this Peterson girl he's dating? Does she know that he still believes in...
Still believes in what?
Nothing, honey. You should get some sleep.
You know, I've been wondering...
Yes?
Well... nothing.
Go ahead and ask. We'll answer.
No, that's okay. I'll just go back to bed.
There's no Santa.
You are a very bad man.
It's been me and Mom this whole time.
That's impossible.
We agreed to wait.
He was never going to ask.
Seriously? Well, where's your workshop?
You're here right now. If you were Santa, you'd be out delivering presents all around the world.
No, it's... The other parents are in on it, too. They all do it for their own kids. See?
You mean there's a gigantic worldwide conspiracy where hundreds of millions of parents conspire to dupe their children into thinking there's a magic elf who delivers gifts, then buys extra presents, put up stockings, and tells stories about the North Pole and reindeer? All carefully aligned? Under whose coordination?
Coordination.
You're telling me that an effort like this just happens and that somehow everyone knows and how and when to do this?
Pretty much, yeah.
How's that even possible? The scope of it is just mind-boggling. Next year, let's say the Easter Bunny.
Same deal.
What are you doing?
Let's get it all out.
Is it every holiday? Thanksgiving?
The Pilgrims didn't do so great by the Indians.
Native Americans.
It was the start of a massive genocide, actually. Started with Columbus.
Not Columbus Day. Christopher Columbus, who sailed the ocean blue.
And killed a couple of million Arawaks on the island of Haiti. All of them, actually.
I want a divorce.
And our real last name is Steinberg, not Smith. Racial redlining was invented by the government. Bush did not defeat Al Gore. JFK cheated on his wife. The NSA listens to our phone conversations. Supermodels have pores in their skin. Dumbledore is gay and also fictional.
Mr. Peterson is your real father.
What?
What?
So you really should not be dating Jane.
Oh.
And you. You know how much you like that deli scene from When Harry Met Sally?
Oh, come on!
I'm a much better actress than Meg Ryan.
That can't be true.
You seem so proud of yourself. And those spa weekends I said I spent with my sister?
Were like the fishing trips I supposedly took with Jerry.
Oh.
I can't believe you lied to me. For so long.
Seems like we have a talent for it.
We just wanted you to be happy.
It's a cold, miserable world out there, buddy.
And we wanted to protect you from it. As long as we could.
Supermodels really have pores.
Just like the rest of us.
And racial segregation?
Didn't happen all by itself.
And the tooth fairy?
Mom has a whole bag of your teeth.
Ew.
What? What am I supposed to do, throw them in the trash?
I'm not sure what's real anymore.
Me neither. You really want a divorce?
I'll be from a broken home with no Santa.
I don't know.
Can we just go back to how things were?
I'll try harder. Whatever it takes.
Really?
Hello? We're talking about Santa here.
You are. We're not.
I'm having an existential crisis.
Oh, honey. You need to get a job, move out, and stop believing in Santa Claus.
But Mom!
Jeffrey. What took you so long to even wonder?
I love the magic of Christmas morning. The way the entire world glows with love and possibility. I want that feeling to last every second of every day. I mean, what kind of person wants to poke their fingers through the shiny scene to touch the dark and dirty pieces behind it?
Well, someone has to pay the price for all those things you choose not to see.
I don't care. I want the magic.
We all do.
How about just on Christmas? We can go back to tomorrow morning. Let's just act like nothing ever happened, okay? One more time.
I don't know.
I suppose it wouldn't hurt.
Well, if that works for you.
It might. I don't know.
But the rest of it.
Message received. Loud and clear. Job, apartment, dump chain. But tomorrow morning?
Okay.
Really?
Thanks! Oh, and next year, I'll do the stockings for both of you. It's like I'll actually become Santa. It's crazy. Good night.
Oh, there he is. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Good night, dear.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Wadi-ba-ba-da-ba, wadi-ba-ba, wadi-ba-ba-da-ba, ba-ba-ba-ba, wadi-ba-ba-da-ba, wadi-ba-ba, wad-wad-wad-wad-wad.
Shimmy down the chimney tonight. Please shim, shim, shimmy down the chimney.
That was Santa Doesn't Live Here Anymore, written by Patrick Gabridge. It was performed by Marion Thibodeau as the mom, Chris Bailey as the dad, and Michael Silvio Fortino as Jeffrey. All right, so with me now is the writer of the story you just heard. He's a playwright based in Massachusetts. He has written many plays that have been produced around the world, and he's also written novels, and he's helped start several theater companies, and many of his fellow playwrights know him as the creator of the online Playwrights Binge. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Patrick Gabridge. Patrick, how are you?
I am great. Really nice to see you here, and I really appreciate being part of the lineup again. It's always fun to be part of it.
Yeah, this is actually your third time on this podcast. I believe last time you were here was 2 years ago with a holiday play called North Pole Noir. And now you're back with another Christmas-themed play, which is a fantastic little play called Santa Doesn't Live Here Anymore. But before we dive into that, what have you been up to? I know you've been a very busy guy working with a lot of your different theater companies. So tell us what's going on in your life right now.
So I run a company called Plays in Place, and we specialize in creating site-specific plays in partnership with museums and historic sites and other institutions. So it's not all history plays, but mostly. So yeah, we've got three big projects coming up next year, two of which are productions that will be returning. One was at Old North Church in Boston, another one at historic Northampton where I live, and then we're doing a big play in the Massachusetts State House. We just got permission to finally produce this play. It's set in the Senate chamber of the Massachusetts State House, and we'll get a very limited run there, but very exciting. So that keeps me busy.
Very cool. So with Plays in Place, do you do a lot of the writing, or do you have guest writers that come on and write the scripts for you or anything like that?
Both. I do a lot of writing for it, but not every play, not every project. So I think we're working with 8 different writers this year. So in various stages, we have 5 or 6 projects in different stages of development right now.
Very cool. So with that, do you pull a lot of your writers locally, or do you do like a submission thing for people that want to write for it? I know it Plays in Place that has to do with the area you live in, right? Or
It has to do with the plays that we make. These site specific plays are really grounded in the spot where it's at. So it could be a historic cemetery or an old church, or that has, when they're rooted in history, for sure. So I would say we have mostly worked with local writers. I think as we branch out to do plays in other areas, we will start reaching out to other writers. We don't have a submission process. If writers wanted to work with us, they would need to let us see their work in some way. Not send me a script, but say, hey, I've got a production going on here. We build everything from the ground up. So sometimes people say like, oh, I have an Emily Dickinson play. You live out near Amherst. We could do that. I'm like, no, we work with the companies, the institutions, and commission new work. So everything is on commissioned. So, which is great, because we're actually paying writers to make these things.
That is awesome. Now, there's a script you wrote that everyone just heard. It's called Santa Doesn't Live Here Anymore. And a little bit of trivia. Back in 2017, I actually saw this play on stage in the Inspirato Theater in Toronto, Canada.
Yeah, which just closed.
Yeah, yeah. And I believe you actually, the play won the audience favorite award, or it won something that for at that festival,
yeah.
Didn't it?
Is that right? Yeah, that sounds right. I think that one won an award at Inspirato. And I think I went out to see that one too. Maybe we might have crossed paths.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I was there because I traveled there because one of my own plays was in the festival. And while I was there, I got to see all these other great works. And Santa Doesn't Live Here Anymore was one of the ones that stood out to me. And it's one that, you know, obviously I've been thinking about it for years, because here I am now recording these audio plays. And that was one that I remembered, and I read through the script again. I was like, yeah, this would be a great audio play. Let me get in touch with Patrick about putting this one on. So tell us, so how did this play come about? Was it a lot of playwrights write from prompts, or was this just a story? Was it based on a real life experience, or how did it work for you?
I will say it was inspired by a real life experience.
Okay.
In that I have 2 kids, they're grown now, but definitely one of them wanted to be a believer for a long time. And I think we were of the philosophy of, you know, when they figure it out, they figure it out. We're not going to tell them. So, and I had been raised that same way. And I was also like that as a kid. I was like, I'm not in a hurry, you know, and your yeah. friends start talking. You're like, no, I don't want to hear it. You know, it's kind of like, no. So I could definitely relate. So it was just one of those things where, well, what if it just went a little bit longer? And then the question is, well, if we tell ourselves stories about this, what else are we telling stories about? And so, and how does that affect your family? And what does that mean? So it's a weird play that's a lot darker than it seems on the surface.
Yeah, I really like how it starts off as just Santa, and then all of a sudden, wait a minute, Thanksgiving? Wait, the Easter Bunny? And it also all these other holidays just start. So you put all these different layers on it. It was just it's very comedic. And at the time we're recording this, we're actually performing the stage version of this play in my hometown of Augusta, Georgia, along with some other great little holiday plays. But yeah, and the same cast that recorded the audio are the ones performing it on stage. And so we opened the show last night and it was so well received. There were so many laughs at your play along with the others. And we got two more performances. It's all going great. Thank you for giving us this great play to produce and entertain our people in Augusta, Georgia. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing it with them. I'm really always happy for this to reach an audience for sure.
So for you, a serious question, when did you stop believing in Santa Claus?
That's a good question. I mean, late, like either like fourth or sixth grade, kind of late.
Yeah. And right. Like you said, it's one of those things where, you know, I kind of am suspicious, but I don't really want to push it yet.
Yeah. And I'd had experiences as a young child where like I remember very, very distinctly. I don't know. I must have been 5 or 6 staying at my grandparents' house and like in the middle of the night, waking up at like midnight and heard like a little jingle bell out in the room. And I was like, I just was frozen, paralyzed, because I was like, oh my God, he's here. And I can't see him because that's against the rules. Yeah. Like, I shouldn't even be hearing him. And I remember like, it was like, that was a moment. Like I believed, I was like, oh wow, something happened. And I don't know if it was my grandparents or my parents or something, but I was like, oh yeah. And my parents were good about, you know, the notes and the cookies and milk and all that stuff. And I took over. So I have a younger sister who's 3.5 years younger. And once I kind of was in high school and knew, I think our family kind of never spoke about who does Santa stuff, but it became my job. Like I would set my alarm at 5:30 in the morning, get up and fill the stockings before my sister got up and before everybody and for everybody. So I just took it on for myself.
Right. But it was something you wanted to do. It wasn't an obligation. Yeah. It's not like
No. I'm the one who my parents probably thought I was crazy. I was like, no, I'm going to do this. I want this magic to continue.
There, see, so the character Jeffrey, the 30-year-old that believes, I see that in you. The way you explain that, how you wanted the magic to continue, because that's one of his monologues towards the end. Very nice. Yeah. I like that. Like a lot of people listening, I'm sure there's a lot of people that have heard of you and some haven't, but all of your fellow playwrights know who you are. And that is because that anyone I ever talk to, it's like, oh, Patrick Gabridge? Yeah, I know Patrick, because you launched the online Playwrights Binge, which every playwright I know is a part of this. And it's like 2 months a year where we all get together, we all share submission opportunities, and we all are submitting to all the, we're totally overwhelming all these theaters, taking submissions. But so tell us how that started and how it evolved to what it is today. Because I think it started off much smaller scale in the beginning, I imagine.
Yeah. So it started some 20 years ago. I had heard some news story about a town that all decided to lose weight together. And so it was kind of like this collective goal and a lot of collective response, you know, reporting, so that everybody felt a sense of accountability. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. You know, I had at one time published a marketing newsletter for playwrights for quite a while. And I was like, so I've always been interested in helping playwrights market their work. But I was kind of like, wow, what if we did something like that, but for writers, and we just get a group of people together? And I already was part of like an AOL chat, like weekly or biweekly around playwrights. And I was like, hey, what if we do this and just pool our resources? And I think there was about a dozen of us. And we're like, we're just going to build the accountability. And so we're just going to send out something and report back to the group. Today I sent something. And then it grew and it was all just email lists for a while, for quite a while, till it became a Yahoo group some years in, probably 4 or 5 years in. As it grew, there was a story about it in the Boston Globe that caught some attention. So all of a sudden it went from 30 people to 200 people. And just to let viewers know, like, it's free. Like, it doesn't cost anybody anything to join. It's a very supportive online community. And it kind of became that way from the beginning, and we're kind of all doing something. Even though we're competing, we're still working together and building that sense of camaraderie and community. It was really helpful. And I think it just was a rare online community that stayed really positively focused. I mean, there's dust ups that happen, and it's pretty simple to manage on my end. So it wasn't like I needed to get paid to do it.
Right.
I could just manage this group. Takes a little bit of time. We are on a different platform now, but again, it's pretty cheap, so people donate every once in a while. But yeah, and now it's evolving. What happened was it went from a dozen people to now it's 1,300 people around the world, which has become a minor problem. In that, like you said, we overwhelm companies sometimes. And also the market has changed for submission opportunities over the last few years. The pandemic, a lot of theaters have closed. A lot of companies have changed the way things happen. The arrival of the new Play Exchange has changed the way that companies find work and availability of work. So we're actually working on transitioning a little bit from us as a collective group of 1,000 playwrights sending out 30,000 scripts in 1 month to this collection of, you know, whatever 100 places get listed or whatever, which is good and bad, to having people focus much more on thoughtful marketing. So working on, say, today's the day you're going to work on your resume, and this is the day you're going to work on building a contact with a local director and things like that. I don't know if it's totally caught on with the group yet, but it's the direction we need to move. Otherwise, we're actually doing potential damage to the market, and we don't want to do that.
Right. I know. I've seen in the group before where theaters just aren't expecting it, especially the smaller theaters that are just starting a festival the first time. Yeah. And then when it hits the Playwright Binge group, it's like every playwright in that group is going to send you a script. So these little theaters are getting all these scripts. Like, we don't have enough readers for this. What's going on? What happened? Yeah. And it's like, they have no clue how the word got out.
Yeah. And that's true. Even medium-sized theaters, like I think playwrights, especially aspiring playwrights who are really getting serious about sending their work out, they know about this. But I think the larger theatrical realm still doesn't quite know that we're there. So they are often surprised to get 200 or 300 scripts like overnight. Like, yeah, the thing goes out and then boom, everybody's like, yeah, that's what I have really well.
It's a great group. So yeah, all the writers out there listening, if you're not familiar with the Playwrights Binge, join the group and there's submission opportunities to come out. What are the two big months that we call submission months? Isn't it, it's
March and September.
But there's also little things that come up throughout the year when people hear about it. But March and September is like every day. Everyone my email box like fills up just because I'm getting everyone's responses. But no, it's a great group. I love the like you said, the camaraderie of everyone. Everyone's pulling for each other. It is competition, but you know, it's friendly competition. It's a lot of fun. So
very much so. And I think we really focus on the supportive nature of it, that, you know, I think there's a lot of congratulations when things go out. We want people to post to the list when something good is happening. And I think people are worried about too much traffic in your inbox. Most of the year, it's not a lot.
Yeah.
2 months of the year, it's a lot, though. It's less than it used to be, I think, as we've changed our focus and as opportunities have dried up.
Right. All right. So other than your play, Santa Doesn't Live Here Anymore, being performed in Augusta, Georgia, what do you have coming up of plays that you've written where people can go and see it in a theater near them?
Let's see. I think Santa Doesn't Live Here Anymore might have another performance in Miami in Spanish. But I think that might be done. That was kind of fun to know that it was happening, that you were doing an English version. There was a Spanish version happening. That was kind of fun. I have a reading of a play coming up in March in Northampton, Massachusetts, of a play called Mox Knox. It's a full-length play that's a lot of an interesting play about sisterhood and climate change. And then in Boston, we'll have a show running at Old North Church next summer for 10 weeks called Revolution's Edge. And so that'll run June through August. A play in Northampton in June called Pulling at the Edge, three one-act plays around Northampton history. And then this play, Light Under the Dome, in August at the State House in Massachusetts. It's a play to see in an amazing place. We'll only probably ever do it 8 times. So it's kind of thing you're like, if you're around, don't miss your ticket.
Man, that is great. So your 2024 is already all booked up with all your plays being performed, it sounds like.
Yes. 2024 is a pretty busy year. Yeah. And our company, I can already tell you, we've got 2 big productions in 25 and 26 is starting to fill up. So yeah, we look 2-3 years out sometimes for stuff.
Awesome. So as far as your theater companies, where could people find that information? Just on your personal website, or yeah, go ahead and throw that out.
If they went to playsinplace.com, that'll take them right there and they can kind of see what we're up to. I highly recommend if they're in our area to get on the mailing list, the email list, because the limited run shows sell out really fast. So, but if they're on our list, you can know about it. And that helps a lot. The 10-week runs, those tend not to sell out as fast, though we've had long runs before where it's like, it's hard to get a ticket.
Very nice. And what is your own, are you active with your own personal website and social media and all that?
Yeah. So Gaybridge.com is my personal site, and that has lots of links to lots of plays and projects and things like that. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram in kind of PatrickGaybridge.com or Patrick Gaybridge on Instagram, and moving off of Twitter.
I think a lot of us are.
Yeah, I think we're gone. Trying out Threads.
All right, Patrick. It was nice having you. Like I said, thanks for letting us do this wonderful little play. I got to have you back on a 4th time. I think I owe you a jacket if I get you on 4 times, or owe you something.
That's good. I got some. I like the Christmas comedy thing. This is a lot of fun too. There are more in the hopper. So yeah, I'd love to be back for sure.
All right, well, keep creating, keep writing, keep doing all that cool stuff, and hopefully we'll be collaborating again soon.
I love that. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you all for listening. And if you are associated with a theater and you would like to produce the play you heard today on your stage, send an email to info@gatheredbytheghostlight.com or contact the playwright directly at his website, gaybridge.com. And if you'd like to have some cool Gather by the Ghostlight merchandise, t-shirts are available at the merchandise link in the show notes, along with the Year 1 and Year 2 books, which are both also available at Amazon. Intro and outro music, as always, is provided by artist JK47. And if you enjoy this podcast, maybe you're a longtime listener, or maybe this is the first episode you've ever heard, let us know. Please leave us a rating or a review in all the places that you can. And also be sure to follow Gather by the Ghostlight on social media to stay up to date on new episodes. Don't forget, submit your script to our inaugural play festival by December 31st. And all you guys, please have a great holiday season. Have a happy new year. All that cool stuff. Whatever you're doing, I hope it's the best time of your life. I'm Jonathan Cook, and as always, stay safe, and I'll see you next time we gather by the Ghostlight.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.